studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
A good Wednesday morning to you too. It's 10 o'clock on a Wednesday, and we're doing it again. It's the Cliff Wilson show today because Robin is out, and she has left me something on here, which will be interesting to see what it is. She's got it listed as commentary, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know what it's going to say. Who knows when I click on the button. Good morning. Welcome to you. I think I have the chat room open in Blog Talk. And for some reason or other, I couldn't get the chat room to open under krbnradio.com. It just sat there and went around in circles and did nothing. But I think I have the chat room open in Blog Talk. Now, I'm not going to be able to chat to you, but if you want to write something in there, I'll be able to see it and respond to it online, or however that works. Anyway, I know it's interesting. I don't mind if you do that. The telephone number, if you want to call and help me out here this morning, is 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887 is the telephone number, and I'd really love to have you call and just enter in the conversation. If you have a question, we'll work on that. If you have a subject that you simply can't stand to sit still and not talk about, then we'll be certainly happy to talk about whatever subject it is you want to talk about. There is a lot of things to talk about today. I mean, there are a lot of things to talk about today, not there is. That's not quite it, but a ton of stuff going on. We just had the Google Fox debate, and I will have to say I watched that, and of all of the debates that I have ever watched, I think that was probably the most informative and the best run debate of all. It did allow the public, I don't necessarily want to say the audience, because people could enter their questions by YouTube, they could enter their questions by YouTube and ask their questions, and then if you ask the questions early enough, then you could go in and vote for what questions you thought were the best questions, and then the people of the debate took over and used those best questions of all on the air, which I thought was a really great idea, because, you know, one person will ask a question, 100 others might have the same question. But then in some cases, maybe nobody has that question. But I think it went real well. You can't really call it a debate. I mean, they called it a debate, but when you get right down to it, you can't really call it a debate, because basically it's just a bunch of people up there answering questions. And they only gave them a minute to answer questions, and then in some instances, 30 seconds as follow-up on everything. So you really didn't get a whole lot of information, but I don't know. Watching what these people were doing, I'm not sure there was much more information to get. And a lot of instances where people did go considerably over the 1 minute time. But most people tried to be very good and keep their answers or their comments short enough to get in on there. So basically, as I say, it's probably, I think, one of the most, I guess that word will be desirable, debates or broadcasts that I've seen. It was 2 hours. There was plenty of time. And they did get to a lot of questions from the audience, so to speak, the people who put them in on YouTube. So we got to see a lot of people, and we got to hear a lot of questions and things. And you could do it by text, too. There were a couple of them that were text information. And the interesting thing about it, though, is looking at the group of people up there on the stage and the people involved in the whole thing, things have changed. We've had, as far as I know, only three debates on television since we've started really getting into the election process. And things have changed since Sarah Palin didn't win the straw poll or did win or whatever in Iowa. She has really gone away. Now, whether that's her fault or whether else somebody else is just outshining her, I'm not exactly sure about that. But she has really lost momentum. Rick Perry, of course, didn't do too well. I didn't expect him to. I'm one of those people who believes that Mr. Perry basically only was up on the top because he made such a big flap about getting in so late, and he did so on a specific day, and the news media was who put him in place. It wasn't his own doing at all, but he has lost ground. And of course we I have to bring up the fact that Herman Cain, when we had the Florida straw poll, and that's interesting because I didn't know we had a bunch of other straw polls, to be honest with you, but Florida had a straw poll, and in the Florida straw poll, Herman Cain won. How is that? Herman Cain. And second was, I don't know if I remember, it was either Rick Perry or Mitt Romney. Doesn't make any difference. They were within a percentage point apart is all they were, and they were both some 35 points down from Herman Cain. And I'd like to think, personally, that one of the big reasons that Herman Cain got anywhere, he is personable, he is a nice guy, and he does know how to talk and get his points across, but he has a plan. He has a plan that everyone can understand. Whether he can make it work if he were to get into office, I don't know. And the other thing that worries me is, can a black candidate get into office after Mr. Obama has screwed things up so bad? I don't know if that can happen either. But I do think Herman Cain has probably one of the best proposals out there with his 999 proposal and other things around that he's talked about and mentioned and brought up. I pretty much agree with almost everything. And of course, I don't think I'll agree with everything that anybody says, but pretty close. Out of that debate, Herman Cain came out on top by more than double the votes of anybody else. Even his, actually, he came out with more votes than both of the next people combined, as a matter of fact. So it was kind of interesting. It'll be interesting. Now that was just the straw poll that he won the straw poll. Now what he does after that, and of course the polls that come out after that, the Gallup poll and some of those, I thought I had those, but I don't seem to have. He isn't that far, but he has gained a lot. He has really gained a lot. And the person that I follow, and I will have to admit, the person that I would like to see, well, there are two people that I would like to see really accomplish something in this particular election. And of all the people up there, of all the people that are running at the moment, I would like to see, and I think the most, probably the most qualified and the most prepared and the most capable would be Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, absolutely and positively. I think if we put him in there, we could see good things going on. And I do honestly believe that he only has the best efforts or wants the best for the United States. I believe other people have personal agendas to put up there. I don't believe Newt Gingrich does. But there's something going on, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit miffed or a little bit lost. I hear people keep saying, well, you know, he's got to get this problem with the skeleton in the closet or whatever they want to call it taken care of. What is that? Is that the fidelity problem with his wives? And if it is, why are we worrying about that? We didn't worry about it with anybody else, for God's sakes. We had other people in there. For example, Clinton. They kept him, and that was his problem, was what he did behind his wife's back, or I assume behind his wife's back. Anyway, and if that's it, then I don't quite understand why we're even considering that, but. The point is, there is something going on that people talk about and keeping Gingrich down. I don't really believe there is. I believe he is probably the most qualified person of everybody, better qualified than almost all of them put together, and all of them are more qualified than who we have in as president at the moment, in my opinion. Which that gets to the other thing, leads to the business of putting people in office. I made the comment, well, I made the comment way back when I voted for, and I did vote for President Obama, that, you know, it's only 4 years. What can he do? How bad can it be? Can he make it? Something has gone horribly wrong in this situation with Mr. Obama. I don't know exactly what. I can't believe he's that dumb. I don't think he's that dumb. But he has listened to absolutely the wrong people, obviously, somewhere along the line, and has made some real poor, unbelievably poor decisions. And I can't. Well, you'd think a person who goes into a position like president, a job that's so important and is so momentous, I guess is the word, such a monster job, that he would have advisors that he could listen to that would give him good advice. But then I guess you still have to understand and realize what is good advice before you're willing to take it. And somewhere along the line, he's either not listening to someone or he's got very bad advisors. I don't know what. I'm not sure which. But he's come up with some really wrong answers. The spend thing that seems to be plaguing him, because that's what everybody gets on to, is that he's just spending and spending and spending and spending. I mean, that's all he wants to do is print money. And how long can we do that without completely destroying the economy? I think we've already gone that far. But basically, we've got to do some changes. I just don't understand his reasoning. It just doesn't make any sense to me as to why he's doing things. But all right, now we're in so much for my personal opinions. Well, no, this is all going to be basically my personal opinions, isn't it? So basically, this last debate, and that's what I forgot to do this morning when I got up. I was going to come out here and look and see when the next debate is, and I'm not sure if we have another debate and when it is scheduled for, but I hope we do. I'm sure we're going to have a lot more debates before the actual election, because we've got a long ways before the actual election. So, and when's our first primary? That's in November, I think, something like that, before we start even getting into the primary. So it'll be interesting to see how things go, and we've got a long period of time for things to go. Sorry about that. Anyway, we've got a lot of things, a lot of time before the actual election, and a lot of things can change, and I'm sure will change in that time. So we need to look forward to the thing is see what's going on. The biggest important thing I think that's happening is that we need to pay attention. I really believe that I guess it's the 2013 election or 2012 election, whatever it is. It's going to happen right there between 12 and 13. But we need to pay attention to who's running, what they're saying, and make up our mind as to who we believe we want to support. But the most important thing is to be alert. The world needs more alerts, I know. But be alert and pay attention and make a decision and then vote. That's, of course, going to be the big thing. I'd like to see this be the biggest turnout that the United States has ever seen for an election. I really would, because it's important that we make a decision that's of the people and by the people. I mean, it's a long time since we've ever had that, and we need to change a whole lot of people, not just the president, but we did a lot in the last election, changing a bunch of the people in the House, and we have made a difference there. But we've still got the whole Senate and most of the House left to go. We've got to make some changes. And I believe that one of the things we need to do is people who have been in for more than a couple of terms have got to go. I'm sorry. We need to get new blood in there and people with a new way of thinking and people that do think and somebody who's willing to spend some time working for the country instead of working to gather up money to run for the next or for the next time they're running. Anyway, the big poll, the big thing with this last debate is finally over. The Florida straw poll is over. You did have rather major surprises there with the winner being Herman Cain. Believe it or not, Michelle Bachmann, who has been running way up there, was at 7%. She was at 4%. She's at 4%. 4% in the Florida straw poll. She just didn't hardly come through at all. So things have changed rather radically as to what's going on. But pay attention. And watch what's going on. There will be other debates, I'm sure. And when you see or hear about them, make attempts to take a little time out of your busy day. And I know everybody's busy and everybody's doing things, but take some time out and watch the debates and pay attention to what people have to say, because that's important. The other person, of course, that I'm really looking at is Ron Paul. We've been basically, sitting back and saying, wrong Paul. There's so many people that say, wow, he's got great ideas. He's got great thoughts and a lot of experience, because he's been in politics in Texas for, 1,000 years or close to it. So he's got a lot of ideas, but so many people seem to think he's not electable. Well, it's true. He's got some pretty way out ideas, but his way out ideas are becoming more. He hasn't changed, by the way. His ideas haven't changed, but the circumstances around the world have changed so much that his ideas are now becoming pretty much mainstream. I mean, he's the world is catching up with Ron Paul instead of the other way around, and that's almost. Are going up as well. So it is a possibility that he could be in there. Now, I don't know whether the Republican Party will allow it or not. That's the next problem. But he is a part of the Republican Party. Remember, when we do get to the election, and I know it's so long from now, so far away that people are not going to remember what I have to say right now. But remember, you can write in things when you do this. But Ron Paul will be on the ticket, I'm sure. Well, maybe he won't be, come to think of it, if he's not picked as the Republican candidate. Well, anyway, you can write things in. And Ron Paul is easy to spell. R-O-N-P-A-U-L. But if you're going to write somebody in, write in Newt Gingrich. That right now, in my opinion, as much as I like Ron Paul and as much as I like his ideas and have liked his ideas, but been scared of some of them for a while. I know way back when I first was watching what he was doing as a libertarian, his ideas were really scary, because if he went through with everything that he's talking about, and almost all of them I agree with, but that would be a lot of work. He'd be throwing away a lot of stuff. But there's so many things that he's right on the button with. And I'll get into some of them today before we go too far. But one of them, of course, is the defense spending. That's something's got to be done about that. But that's all going to happen. So basically, so much for the debate. That was an important thing. And we've had, three of them now. I didn't get to see the first two. And it's my own fault. It has nothing to do with anyone, because I sat there for days before each one of them saying, okay, you're going to do this. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this. And it gets up to it, and I forgot. I mean, I don't know exactly how to say that. But we did have somebody that's logged into the chat room. So if you have something to say, you can write it in the chat room, and I'll be more than happy to acknowledge you, guest 2144. Of course, if it's guest 2144, that probably means you're not a member. And that is a problem with this chat room. You have to be a member. Anyway, welcome, whoever you are. What was I saying? Oh, the fact that I didn't watch the debates. I spaced them, and I don't know why. I have this thing. I record things and watch them later, so I don't have to watch the commercials. And quite often, that and movies, we rent movies a lot, and I would be watching something else and forgot about the time that the actual debate came on, and I'd be in the middle of watching a movie and didn't think about it. Well, but I did watch the third one, and I was really impressed with that. So, okay, now let's see here. I know what we're going to do. Robin left a commentary on here, and I have no idea what this is going to be. It's a minute and 44 seconds or something, but we're going to take a chance, and we're going to listen to it, okay?
You know, I thought it was bad enough when Oregon, along with a few other states, in their efforts to try and win the war on drugs by making some of the typically over-the-counter medications available only by prescription, was a failed effort. The only thing that this really resulted in is forcing people like myself, who are allergy sufferers, to now have to pay more for their medications because they have to go to their doctor to get a prescription, assuming, of course, that the medication is even still available. Well, thanks to the Obama administration and the EPA, if you suffer from asthma, it's now going to cost you 50 to 200% more for your medications. Apparently, the propellant used in the inhalers is contributing to the depletion of the ozone layer, and as a result, the EPA has ordered the over-the-counter inhalers to be only available by prescription only. Personally, I was unaware that there were so many people suffering from asthma that it would actually affect the ozone layer, but I digress. The point is, this is just another example of how the Obama administration is working to take over your lives and increase the cost of medications. And if you don't believe me, pay attention to Obama's speech during his recent tour pushing his jobs bill, as he's still trying to sell Americans on Obamacare, despite the fact that it will force Americans who can't afford insurance to pay a penalty at the end of the year. Hope and change? I think we got sold a used car, and it's a lemon. This is Robin for KRBN Internet News Talk Commentary.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. I didn't think about getting into that, but I should probably listen to this ahead of time, but it didn't. That was interesting. that gets into the thing that a lot of people are into, and especially with the allergies thing. My sister is a real allergy person. She has a lot of them, and I'm finding out I have allergies that I didn't even know I had. I mean, I had no idea. I've been one. Oh boy, we get into this. Most of my life, I have spent not going to doctors. I never thought about going to doctors. I never could take the time to go to doctors, and I really wasn't ill enough to go to doctors. Anytime I ever had any problem with illness, any kind of illness, I just went to bed and stayed in bed for a while, and it seemed to go away. I mean, I don't know if I until the last 2 or 3 years, I just never thought too much about being ill. And however, in the last 2 or 3 years, I discovered that I should have been paying attention to it and didn't. But that's something else, and I'm not going to get into that right now. I have had some major illnesses in the last 3 years that have definitely changed my life radically, not just a little bit, but radically. But I can still talk, at least somewhat now, and hopefully coherently. I'm not too sure. Sometimes I wonder. The jobs thing, that's the thing I think that was brought up. The fact that President Obama has been on a tour pushing his jobs, what do you want to call it? Basically, whatever it is, it's a lie. Because it has very little to do with jobs. It has to do with where he's spending money. Basically, for the first time in nearly a year, the entire the economy failed to add any jobs at all. This last month, I think it was, basically just no jobs at all. And so basically our unemployment rate is still extremely high. And doesn't look like it's going to change much. And most of what I've been listening to his little speeches as he goes around the country, and they have very little to do with actually anything that can add jobs or change the situation. That's not what he's talking about mostly. He's talking about a lot of other things, and most of them include spending. Now, the jobs thing, I don't know if I really believe either side totally, but I do believe that if you look at history, it sort of indicates that if you don't raise taxes, I don't know that you have to lower taxes, but in some cases you do if they're real high. But if you don't, by not raising taxes, you do a better job of more jobs than you do if you do raise taxes. I don't know. If you think about it, you know, I've heard people say that the United States' tax rate is extremely high. I don't really think it is. Do you realize that in the United Kingdom, their income tax is 50%, their corporate tax rate is 28%, their sales tax rate, and they have one, the national sales tax, is 17.5%. Now, that's an awful lot of money in taxes. Germany, for example, their income tax is 42%, their corporate tax is 33%, and their sales tax is 19%. So basically, it's the same. Their income tax isn't quite as high, but the other two are higher, so it's effectively the same. In Spain, they have a sales tax, or VAT, which is about 18%. And now, essentials, now in most places that I've seen, your sales tax essentials like food and water and medicine are exempt. But in Spain, they're not. They're lower. They're 7%, but they're not exempt. Their property tax is between 0.5 and 1.1%. They have an inheritance and gift tax that's up to 34%. Anyway, their taxes are pretty high. France, basically the net income tax is about 41% in France. So their taxes are really high. Basically, it's what is this? Australia at 30%. Some things have Canada is basically right around where is it here? The final. Well, they have theirs is combined like ours. They have a federal tax, which is at about around 16.5, and they have provincial tax, which is 16. So they're like federal and state tax here. Hong Kong is fairly low at 16. New Zealand is 30%. Basically, taxes around the world are quite high. Ours are up there too now. And we're definitely not, I don't think, the highest in the world by a long ways. So basically, we're not really hurting for how much taxes we're paying. And everybody's going to say, oh my God, we are too. Everybody thinks they're paying too much, but I don't know that we are. But we're certainly not paying too little. So we need to work on not changing the tax rates, not making it higher, not necessarily making it lower, but let's just leave it alone where the tax rate is and start doing something about what we're spending, because that's going to be the big difference. We've got to adjust how we're spending that money and where we're spending that money and make a huge difference there, because that's where you can make the big difference is how you're spending the money that you're bringing in. I think we're probably bringing in enough, but we're just wasting it. And now, you know, with these huge stimulus packages and such things where we're just printing money out of thin air, that really concerns me. That's really a big problem, because you can't do that forever. And the current administration thinks we should be able to, obviously. They just think they can keep printing money and keep printing money as long as they want to. And you're going to find us in a position like Greece before too long. You just can't keep printing money. I mean, there comes a point where you've got to stop. And I think we're there. So basically, we've got to do something about how much we're spending and where we're spending it and that sort of thing. That's, you know, a real important thing. I'm going to get into this. And people have very important feelings about this. Very, very. Spending is basically the defense budget is what I want to get into. Discretionary spending has been trending, going up and up and up for a long time. For the last 10 years, it increased by 71% in the last 10 years, discretionary spending. And, of course, discretionary domestic basically, our income hasn't gone up. Our income is not keeping pace with what we're spending. The federal government grows faster than Americans' paycheck. Britain, for example, over the past decade, the middle income Americans' earnings have only risen 27%. Now, okay, keep that in your head. They're 27% over the past few decades. And middle income earnings for Americans has gone up by 27%. The spending that our federal government is doing, careful now, make sure you're sitting down, spending has gone up by 299%. 299% is the amount of money that the federal government spends, while our income has only gone up by 27%. Now, there's a major drastic problem there, and we're getting a little tired of that. That's where the American public is getting upset. It's because there's a real disparity there between how much we're making and how much our federal government is spending for us. So consequently, the more they're going to spend, the more they have to take away from us. And we haven't made enough inroads into to be able to give up that much money. So basically, what I started out to talk about was defense spending. Defense spending. Well, actually, come to think of it, I don't know if this is defense spending. I'm thinking of how much money we're giving away to other countries. Where's my notes on that? Basically, we're giving an awful lot of money to other countries. Now, this is going to be I found this a real wake up. It's kind of a hard to explain situation, but did you know that Afghanistan, we gave in the year 2009, we gave Afghanistan $8.8 billion. We gave Iraq $7.4 billion. Israel, we gave Israel $3.1 billion. We gave Egypt $1.5 billion. We gave, are you ready for this, Russia $1.2 billion. And where is this? Here's, I think I saw on here. Where is it? I thought I saw China. I know China's on there. But we even gave China money. And we gave, and the whole world basically is giving China money and then turn around and borrowing it from it. This doesn't make any sense. We're borrowing money, putting ourselves in debt, and then giving it to other people. I mean, the list goes on. Tanzania, Ethiopia, Pakistan, Colombia, Jordan, Mozambique, Kenya, Morocco, West Bank, South Africa, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, Haiti, Indonesia, Peru, Bolivia, Liberia, Ukraine, the West Bank, Bangladesh, and Bosnia. I mean, that's just, I don't even know if that's a complete list or not, but that's the list that I found so far, and we're talking about a lot of money. We're not talking about just a few dollars. We're talking about a lot of money. Now, a lot of them are less than a billion dollars, but are 963 billion dollars for Pakistan, for example. We're sitting here talking about Pakistan right in the news now and about the things that they're doing and whether we're happy about it or not. And but we're giving them $963 billion. We're giving them that much money, and yet what are we getting out of this? You know, who was it? One of the people on stage said something about giving all this money away, and we're not even getting friendship out of it. We're not even giving it to friends. We're giving it to people who don't like us. And hello, we need to do something about that. So I don't know that we need to discontinue all money that we're giving away, but we should be basically discontinuing most of it. Again, ready or not, what happened to taking care of America first? What happened to that? Something has gone drastically wrong when we're borrowing money to be able to exist as a country, but still giving away billions and billions of dollars to other countries. Giving away, not loaning, but giving away billions of dollars to other countries. And that's just, that makes no sense to me, that we're borrowing money to be able to exist, but we're giving away huge amounts of what we're borrowing. And so somewhere along the line, one or the other of those has got to stop. And basically, it's the giving away of money. And if we stopped giving away that much money, maybe we wouldn't have to borrow that much money, because we're just taking it out of one hand and putting it in another. And that makes no sense whatsoever, in my opinion. So we've got to stop doing that. And Dennis Kucinich is talking about the defense spending. This is a little different thing, but we're talking about how much money we're spending in defense itself. We do have to have a strong defense, but we're talking about a huge amount of money. Our defense budget is up around $700 billion, $689 or something like that. It's a huge amount of money that is our defense budget. And again, I'm not saying we should eliminate that, but we should be bringing some people home and not having to have them overseas and not spending the money on keeping them overseas. If we did this, and I understand that bringing our troops home would mean a whole bunch of people that we're bringing back to the United States that are now out of work, that are unemployed, because that's what's going to happen. But no, that doesn't have to be it. That same amount of troops that we have in other countries and around the world can be brought back here and still stay in the military if they want to, but be here at home where they're not being, well, I was going to say they're not being shot at. I was going to mention that they should be deploy them onto the border, our southern border, which means they still could be shot at, unfortunately. Not quite as much as where they are now, perhaps, but they still might be shot at because of the things that are going on our southern border. That's a little scary. But at least they'd be home, and they'd be doing something that is directly attributable to the United States that could be actually measured in the United States instead of trying to figure out how to figure what they're doing is accomplishing anything. But the Defense Department has to be looked into, because we're just spending way too much money on defense because it's just huge amounts of money. And not only that, one of the things that keeps happening, our defense budget, and this is what I don't understand. That's why I'm a little concerned about saying too much about this, because there's an awful lot of people, obviously, who disagree with me, I assume, because every year the president or the administration asks for a certain amount of money for the defense, and they get more than they ask for. Every day, every year, for the last 3 or 4 years at least, they've been getting more than they ask for. Instead of less, they're getting more, and it keeps going up. So again, as a permanent amount of our budget, we're talking about a lot of money here. That's a little scary how much money we're spending. So we need to take it into consideration how much money we're giving the Defense Department and change that, because it's just such a huge amount of money that we're spending on defense, and it's increased by like 30% in the last 3 or 4 years, and if we were to cut back that increase that in the last 3 or 4 years, we're talking, you know, close to $100 billion that could be cut off of defense. And I don't think it would be really making that much difference. I really honestly don't think it would make a huge difference because they're getting so much more than they even ask for. But $100 billion could make a huge difference right here at home. A huge difference. Just unbelievable. Because think of what we could do with $100 billion. $100 billion is, you know, it's just hard to think in the terms of that kind of money when you're talking about saving or spending or anything else. It's hard to think about that kind of money. It's such a huge amount of money that it's just hard to consider it. Well, again, in the year 2009, because that's basically what we have the figures on, the Defense Department budgets was $680 billion. That's what the final amount was that they got for defense, which was $16 billion more than the president requested. And it was the same the year before that and the year before that. It's been that way for a while. They've been getting more than they asked for by about that much money. Well, now, if you just take the money, the extra money that's being just thrown at them, I guess, and take that, what, even $16 billion even 16, and we're talking about 3 years of that, so 30, $45 billion, just rounding things off to the low end, $45 billion, what could we do with that in the United States? That could make a huge amount of difference and be spent somewhere else and accomplish an awful lot. And, I just get mind-boggled when we're talking in that kind of money, because I don't have the ability in my brain to figure out how much that would be, $45 billion, and we've only got 500 million or 300 million people in the United States. So that's $15 billion or $1.5 billion per person or something, some ridiculous huge amount. Basically, what it could mean is that we could pay our taxes for a long, long time back. And I'm not trying to indicate that we should give that money back to the people, not at least by sending them a check or anything like that, but we should give that money back to the people by cutting out some of the things that we're spending and not having to borrow that kind of money. I mean, when you get right down to it, it wouldn't take long if that $45 billion or $16 billion a year, let's put it that way, to pay back China. I mean, we only owe them, what, about $400 billion or something like that? I don't know. Is it $400 or $800? Somewhere in there. But any way you look at it, if we send them $16 billion a year to pay it off, it wouldn't take a long time to do it, any way you look at it. And we're talking about now never paying it off. I mean, we're just trying to pay the interest on it is taking all the money that we can scrape up and come up with, which is just ridiculous. So basically, the defense budget, and that's, by the way, that's just the actual defense budget amount. That's the amount that we call for defense. There's an awful lot of money in there that we're spending that isn't listed on things for experiments and things like that. There's a huge, just, and I consider that a waste. I know a lot of people don't, but I'm sorry, I consider an awful lot of that waste. And we're not even talking about the $400 hammers and whatever like that. That's waste too. But that's, I think, a pittance. That's just a small amount in the overall look of things. But anyway, it is a lot of money when you're talking. I mean, we're talking in billions of dollars, and we've got to change that. That's what we've got to do. Excuse me. I'm going to do this again here. Got to get my throat wet a little. Yes. Anyway, that's the budget and how much money we're spending and where we're spending it and where we're sending it and so on. That's the huge thing that we've got to consider. And defense is going to have to be one that we have to consider as far as how much money we're spending. There are certain things that we need to spend, of course, that we can't change. I hate to even start on the Social Security, but you know, basically, Social Security was promised to people, and people paid into that. That's something that I don't believe we can touch. Whatever we do, we have to scrape up the money to spend on Social Security, and even more so now, I have to say, because I'm living on Social Security right now, and it's not that easy to do. But the point is, we've got to, because we've frivolously spent that money over the last years. The outgo, how we spend our Social Security money, has been radically changed over the years as to where we spend it, and we're spending it in a lot of places that it was not designed to be spent for. And so even having done that, it's not broke. The Social Security is not technically broke, but it's a long ways from being broke if you want to get right down to it. Now, changing that, and I can understand looking at Social Security and changing the date as to when you can retire, because people are living longer. And what do I want to say? I guess what I want to say is they're medically better. They're not in. They're much better off longer than they have been. So we're looking up to changing, moving it forward from. And of course, it's gone a long ways. When I first started spending or working and paying into Social Security, I expected to retire at 55. Didn't, of course, but that's what I thought was going to happen at 55. And so now it's up at 65, and in some cases, they've changed how much you get all the way up to 72. So I can see that. I can see that because people are living longer, and I think probably about that much longer. We're talking about 15 years. That's quite a bit. And people are living longer and taking care of themselves and can work longer than they did before. But that's the only thing. And we can't, changing how much we give them, you can't do less than that. People are living on almost nothing as it is. Social Security is almost impossible to live on. You don't get much for it. And especially people who, one of the things that you need to consider, an awful lot of people nowadays are living together without getting married. And what you're doing is you're screwing your future, because if you're not married, there are a lot of women, for example, who normally could live on their husband's Social Security. But you can't do that if you weren't married. And so you need to pay attention to what's going on. And there is a reason to be married rather than just living together. And that is one of them. There are others as well, but that's another story, and that's not what we're basically talking about today that I can tell. Oh, by the way, I haven't mentioned again. Give me a call. Give me a call, please. 646-721-9887. I haven't seen anybody show up over here on the call side. 646-721-9887 is a telephone to call. If you like to chime in and talk about something, if I'm saying something wrong or if I'm missing something and not saying it, give me a call and get me on the straight and narrow here. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number. 646-721-9887. So, okay, 5 minutes away from, is it really? Wow, time does fly. We're 5 minutes to 11 o'clock, which means we have, 35 minutes left of the show. So we still got plenty of time to talk about things, and if you wanted to change the subject or talk about something different, fine, go ahead, let me know. I'd be more than happy to do that. So, basically, the spending money, what we've got to do for spending money, that's basically one of the problems. And the Defense Department is one of the big things that we need to look into. We need to balance things. I mean, everybody in the world, well, everybody in the country, I need to back off here a little bit because I'm making some rash statements, but basically every family in the United States has to balance their budget. I mean, they've got to not spend more than they bring in. It's a little different with the family budget, because if you try to spend more than you brought in, it runs out and you can't do that. Now, granted, we do have credit cards and loans and things that we can spend, and then you get in big trouble because they come after you for it. But so we need to balance our budget. But more than that, we need to balance the federal budget. The federal budget needs to be balanced, because you can't continue to just print money. And that's what's happening right now, is we're just printing money out of thin air. And somewhere along the line, that's going to come to an end, because you can't keep doing that. There's just a point where it ends. And I'm not sure where that is and why it is. I haven't quite put that together, but I'm sure there is a point where you can't just spend money you don't have. And that's what we're spending at this time. somewhere we've got to work that out. And so basically we've got to stop this printing of money. I know we don't have, our money is not based on anything. It used to be on silver, used to be on gold. It's not anymore. It doesn't mean anything. It's just this piece of paper that's a promissory note is all it basically is. I know there's an awful lot of people that are going back to trading, so to speak. I'll trade you my services for your services and things like that. There's a lot of that springing up around the country and around the world that is happening. But you're going to run. There's a point where you can run out of money, and that's something you got to consider, and that's something that's going to happen. So we need to balance our budget, and that's something that our current president seems to have a problem with. He doesn't seem to feel that that's important to balancing the budget. And that's why we've got a clean house. We've got to, this next election, we've got to change an awful lot of people, because there's obvious an awful lot of our senators and representatives who have been there for a long time who have that opinion. And that's got to change. We've got to start balancing that thing. That's, again, partly why I want to work with Newt Gingrich. We need to really consider Newt Gingrich in this whole thing, because he was, I think, pivotally responsible for the last time we've had a surplus, so to speak. And I don't know if we really did or not, but we basically thought we did, and we were a lot closer to it than we are now. But he was involved in that and very much the author of that. So we need to listen to this man and work with him. And I would very much like to see Newt Gingrich as our next president. I don't know that that's going to happen, but I really would like to see him be that. And I will have to say that watching this last debate, I have become more and more impressed with Mitt Romney than I ever was before. I don't know why. I've always just kind of ignored him. But I'm not sure I should anymore. But that's okay. I suppose we should get to a little bit more. One of the things that we're doing right now is our economy seems to be based on oil. And that means that, unfortunately, it's based on, it's not based in the United States. It's not, because the people who import the oil for us can make a difference in how our economy goes, because as the price of oil goes up, so goes all of our prices, and so the entire budget changes on oil. So we've got to consider about becoming energy independent, as they say, and there's more and more people talking about that. We do have oil in America they can drill for, but more of the point is we have more, let's not worry about oil nearly so much. Let's worry about the natural gas. Now, basically, when you're talking about natural gas as opposed to oil, you're talking about the same companies. You're talking about the same people that drill for oil are the ones that drill for natural gas. So we're not changing the companies. But most of these are American companies that are doing this. This is not foreign countries that are drilling for natural gas in the United States. So we're still supporting the same companies, yes. But we're doing it within the United States instead of sending the money out of the country. We're keeping it in the country. And so we need to consider drilling for natural gas, or we need to consider using methanol. Now, you notice I said methanol. It began with an M, methanol, not ethanol with an E, but methanol. Because our idea to go with ethanol, and I'm not sure exactly why this happened, because we've known about methanol forever, but ethanol is screwing us up. Ethanol, we basically need to use corn, because ethanol is harder to make than methanol or something. But we're using corn for it. But we've got to stop using corn. There are many, many, many other things that you can use to make ethanol or methanol, and we need to start doing those. We need to make new industries instead of just trying to make the corn people do more. I mean, people, that brings the price of corn up so high. Let's change it and make the price of grass. What is it? They've got this special grass that they can grow that can make ethanol or methanol. Let's make that expensive instead of corn, because we don't eat that. We do eat the corn. So, or algae. And I've got to check into the algae. I haven't looked into algae for a while. There's got to be some reason. Algae has been known about for a long time. And algae, well, I'll just to refresh you with what I was talking about with the algae. Algae is available everywhere. Every state in the United States has algae of some sort. Algae accomplishes a couple of things. First of all, it can be changed into an actual crude oil. An algae, it's a biological crude oil instead of the other. And consequently, it doesn't hurt anything. If we were to have an algae plant converting things to the crude oil, the difference being the corn and the things that when you're making methanol, you're making fuel, basically, and that's almost all you're making. With the algae and converting it into a crude oil, you can make the plastics, you can make the different hundreds of different things that are made out of the crude that can't be made out of methanol that I know or ethanol. So there is a reason to go with the algae, and you can make all of these things, and they are sustainable, and the algae itself grows faster. You have a dozen different crops a year. So you got a huge, significantly faster to grow. It continues to grow everywhere, and it's biodegradable. You know, it doesn't hurt anybody if you have a big spill or whatever. It wouldn't be a big problem. It would just go away because you'd use the algae that is indigenous to your state, let's say. So there, you know, I've got to figure out. I mean, I did have talked about algae before, but for some reason or other, it doesn't seem to have gained a foothold. It doesn't seem to have accomplished anything. We don't seem to have hearing about it anymore. And I would like to know why. I mean, what has taken place that has made the algae people just sit back and do nothing or see nothing or whatever? And I need to move this thing I'm reading from so that I can see if we have anybody calling in. No, okay. So basically, we need to try to make, and I hate to say anything about solar panels, because we just had this Solenix, is that the name of it? Big uproar about that company going broke. I really honestly think that has nothing to do with solar panels or getting energy from the sun. That has to do with, I think that was an inside thing. The money we gave to Solenix, I believe, and I'm sorry to say this, but I honestly believe the president gave that money to somebody he knows. He literally gave that indirectly through Solenix, yes. But people knew Solenix was going to go under. They knew it was not a good plan. And I cannot believe that the president was stupid enough that he didn't know that. So that means that he had to have given them that money in order to give it to someone else. That was a step to give it to friends or back to himself later or whatever. Something is going to come out of that that was definitely not legitimate. But solar panels are a way to make America energy independent. It's going to be a while, and it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of time. But it's a way to do it. The methanol is definitely, we're already doing that, but we need to change it to methanol instead of ethanol, make it from different things and start making different, that would be a way to make huge inroads into the jobs problem. I don't know if these people that are out of work are ready to be farmers, because basically that's what it'd be, growing the crops to convert to methanol. The crops of whatever it happens to be, this, what is it, switchgrass, I think it's called, or something like that, then I don't know if there are other things that could be used or not, But basically, I'm sure that we could change what crops we're going to be selling. We got a lot of land in this country where these crops could be grown, and I guess the switchgrass grows almost everywhere, so it wouldn't be a problem. So it could be a whole industry that we need to get into and get going with, because it could help a lot. You'll notice I'm conspicuous by its absence in my speech is the nuclear power. I have decided myself personally that nuclear power is out of the picture. I understand that there's a big hole, but I think we can fill that hole with things and other than nuclear power. And we really are a little worried about, I have still not seen, or we still don't know what they're considering the outcome of the Japanese tragedy, but it's going to have to be big. Now, obviously not as bad as we thought, because, you know, that was a huge loss as far as nuclear power is concerned. I there's got to have been large amounts of radiation lost in that, and I'm not sure how much that's affecting the United States. I'm going to have to look that up. That should be another show that I'll get into and research, and we'll discuss that. I have somebody on here as a caller. Now, let's see how I can do this. I think this is right. No, that's... Good morning. This is... Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi. I was listening to you talk here, and especially about the solar panels. I agree with what you're saying. The nuclear and the I didn't hear everything you said about algae. Is algae being used as a fuel source? Was that what you were saying?
Yes, algae can be converted into a crude oil that can be used just like the crude oil we're using now, but it's biodegradable.
Ah, well, that sounds like a wonderful idea. I'd love to see that. I did want to comment about the solar problem, Solar Trex, or whatever the name of this company is that went down. We have to realize that Obama, when he came into office, did a great deal to upgrade green energy. I mean, we went from making 2% of the world's batteries, hybrid batteries, to 40%. He's got a lot of investment. There's been a lot of money put into different solar companies. This is just one, and I don't know if this is going to wash out as being anything worse than just a bad investment that just, you know, I mean, they do happen, you know, because he took a lot of the infrastructure money and did put it into green energy. So this is just one instance where it didn't work out, and maybe he didn't have all the information about it. I don't know, or maybe it was a technology that they were exploring that just didn't, that wasn't the best way of creating solar panels, but I'm very happy that he's been able to do that, and I wish that he would be able to do more. And I agree with you on the nuclear stuff too. We got to get rid of the nuclear. You know, I mean, it's crazy to think what's going on in this country. What happened in Japan, and we don't know what the effects are going to be ultimately from that. We have nuclear plants sitting on fault lines in California. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous nonsense, and it's the same type of nuclear reactors that they're using in Japan. Old, outdated. It's got to go. And I mean, if you can, with the break.
Can't we upgrade those to something that's usable?
Well, I mean, if we can, that's great. But I mean, I would rather it be non-nuclear.
I would rather we spend our money. If we're going to spend a lot of money on something, let's spend it on something other than that.
Yeah, because I think that when you look at the way the country has slid, I mean, and the disasters and everything else that have happened that do happen and are continuing to occur. I mean, what's going to happen if there's nobody there to maintain those things, or if there's some sort of earthquake on the fault lines in California? The devastation is just beyond. It's beyond belief. It's beyond thinking process. And we're sitting here trying to split the atom to create energy, and it's just like, get rid of it, man. And then they talk about, you know, now it's stopped, but there's been a great deal of talk in a few years past, about building more. Now you don't hear anybody really saying it because they realize, you know, well, maybe that's not such a good idea, but so at least it's gone underground a little bit.
Well, yeah, I hate to point you, but from what I hear, there are like 10 or 11 nuclear plants in the United States that are actually in progress right now.
They are. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I'll look and check on that again for next week, but that's what I understand there are. But it's going to take many years to get those things online. That's my problem with digging for oil in the United States, is it's going to take many years to get those online. I think the natural gas that we could get to faster, and of course, like you say, if there's a problem with a nuclear power plant, that's a huge thing. If we're doing wind power and a whole bunch of, you know, there's an earthquake or something and a whole bunch of windmills fall over, that doesn't hurt everybody. You know, it hurts the people right around them, yes, and it hurts the grid, but, you know, it doesn't destroy the world to have a whole bunch of windmills fall over. And
sure,
it does tend to destroy the world to have a nuclear power plant go down.
Oh yeah, and it's just I didn't realize. I mean, I figured that they were still out there underground somewhere, but you don't hear people talking as much about it. And I was hoping that, you know, it was sort of being slowed down somewhat. I'm not thrilled with the idea of more nuclear power. I think we need another more nuclear power. I think we need another no nukes campaign happening. You know, I mean, this has got to stop. We need to start putting investment into green energy. We've seen other countries do it. You look at Germany, they're 90% green, man. They're not having any problems whatsoever from that standpoint. And I mean, we can do this here, and it isn't that difficult to do. And it just, you know, we could put people to work with it. And I think this president came into office with the idea of doing that, and the corporate process has tried to slow him at every pace from really doing that. I mean, he's done some, but I mean, he hasn't put enough money into it.
I've heard him talking about doing all of this and coming up with all these industries, but I haven't seen the actual results of anything. Very few. A few of them, yes, like you mentioned, but I haven't seen the results of very much of this happening, and we need to have more of it. I agree with you. Whether it's the algae or whether it's the solar or whether it's wind, all of those can do something. We keep talking lately about clean coal, which is kind of stupid. I don't think there is such a thing as clean coal, but even that's less disastrous than nuclear.
Well, they have a process, and it's in its very early stages of being able to take the C2 gases out of coal. They can't do it on a mass, you know, production basis, but they've actually developed a process that does take the gas out. So it's like, you know, I'm not against them, you know, work at it. You know, I'm not against them. If they can get there, you know, I mean, God knows if we can use coal and not put the CO2 into the atmosphere, that would be wonderful. But we really need to get into these things, and I think the people have to get behind it a little bit more. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, I mean, you got the drill baby drill banner out there, but I don't hear anybody really pumping green. I mean, you know, like I said, the president started with that, but he didn't put enough stimulus into the economy to really do everything that he needed to do to get that off the ground. And I think part of that was because he didn't want to come off looking like, you know, FDR. Mm-hmm. And I think that he needed to do more of it, and I wish he would do more of it. And not, but now, of course, you know, he's stuck in a process of we're in a campaign season, so you're not going to get much out of anything here. But you know, I hope in the future, because I don't see anybody from the other side, from the right, you know, doing this. I think they're just going to go. They're going to go back to, you know, oil, to the people who pay their bills. And, you know, I mean, you even have Boone Pickens out there for years, you know, with his own money yelling about natural gas, and we're not doing that. I mean, there's so many different ways that we can make ourselves better and create jobs for this economy, and we're not doing the things that we need to do. And we're, you know, 2019 comes along, China's going to start out producing us, and they're laughing at us.
Well, something we've got to consider is that we're losing ground. We're not only not doing things, but in the process, we're basically losing ground. We're no longer, when people talk about the most important country in the world, or the country that makes the ideas and such, we aren't there anymore.
No, we're not, and we have a very distorted view of capitalism in this country now. It's sort of we've replaced. I don't know. It seems very Orwellian to me. We've replaced the term capitalism has become totalitarianism somehow. It's sort of like, well, if there's a business and they're going to move away, quick, give them a rebate so they'll stay here, instead of saying, get out, and we'll build something else in your place. Because this is what the Chinese do. I mean, the Chinese are like, you know, you want to talk about capitalists. I mean, the Chinese are for a totalitarian country, they are incredibly capitalistic, because they turn around and they you come in under their terms, and they take your technology. And if you don't want to do business with them, like Google didn't want to do business with them, it's like, get out. And now they've got Baidu. You know, and Baidu is covering the Asian continent, is almost as big as Google. So it's like, you know, you don't want to do it by our rules, we'll create another company to do it as well, you know, in our own backyard.
Long enough to find out how you do it.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't do these things. It's sort of like, a tax break. It's got to be a tax break. I heard somebody from Illinois saying that, you know, oh, they're going to move jobs out. You know, we've got to give these people a job. Quick, give them a tax break so they'll stay. And it's sort of like, you know, paying, you know, that old animal farm thing, feed the pig, you know, give the pig the apple, feed the pig, you know, so that
well,
you can serve.
The simple fact of the matter is, you cannot give them a tax break big enough to actually keep them here.
No.
Can't do that with taxes. Taxes are only so much, and there's got to be other reasons for them to stay here. There's got to be people ready and willing to buy whatever it is they're making, or to use whatever it is they're coming up with. I mean, it's got to be more than just a tax break. This is something that can't totally be done with taxes. We've got to have other incentives somewhere along the line, and we've got to come up with what those are.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that we need to, you know, take some of the money, and I've been saying this for a long time, that we put into quantitative easing, into this structure. Take that money and put it into the 50 million factories that have gone under in the last 10 years. How about we start creating something again and replacing these people? I mean, when ExxonMobil, who is not paying a tax, you know, because of their offshore setup, and they pay 0% interest in the United States, goes before Congress and says, you know, we don't need you. You need us. My answer is, I don't need you, Exxon. Leave. Because there's somebody else out there that will take your spot and be very willing to do it, and that maybe we can give them, you know, a nice rate in taxes and stop giving you a free ride. Because I can't, as far as taxes are concerned, I cannot understand the idea that normal Americans pay taxes, but 42 national multinational corporations that aren't even American. Are not only are they not paying taxes in the United States, some of them are getting rebates.
Yeah.
And it's like we have a $14 trillion debt, and you're giving these people rebates, and you're giving them tax incentives to try to stay here and there. And you're right, you're not going to be able to keep them here on the taxes, because they can go to Indonesia and get a much better rate all across the board, workers and workers paying the whole bit. So why are they going to stay here? And the idea of trying to negotiate with these people to try to stay in this country is ridiculous. Why don't we just build something else in their place? Why don't we create a new Exxon, if you will, from the United States and say, see ya, or even go out and take one of the companies that's already out there, like Sioux Energy, which is in Canada, which I'm sure they'd love to come down here and start drilling, you know. I just don't get it, and we got to get rid of the corporate money that keeps on influencing the politicians to say, yeah, well, if you pay me enough, I'll do whatever you want. You know,
let's consider this, will you? If we were to build manufacturing plants in the United States, how can we sell what they're putting out? Because our cost to build something, a car or whatever, is so much higher because of wages and various taxes and things. What can we do to equalize what our costs are to build something in the United States as opposed to something in Pakistan or something? Because everything there is cheaper. How can we bring prices, make them more equalized, let's put it that way?
Well, I think that it's take Germany and what they do. I think for our own people, it's not going to be more expensive because it's in the United States and you're not going to have the import export of it, and also because of the dollar's weakness. They're actually going to pay more to ship it and export it. So I think we can equalize in that process. And as far as wages are concerned, I'm sure we can discuss that. I mean, I'm not, you know, I think that from a union standpoint, things have gotten outrageous. I think collective bargaining needs to be there. But at the same point in time, you know, we need to restructure ourselves. Look at the Japanese and the way they structure it, and they're able to make it work. I think we could make it work similarly, but at the same point in time, we're not doing it. We're not creating any of these things. I mean, for our own people, at least. I mean, if people are working and they've got the jobs, they're going to buy the products. And again, we can offset the prices with the people who are trying to import in this country, even if it comes to tariffs to some degree. You know, which I'm not totally in favor of, but I mean, even if you needed to do a little bit of that, if we're in a position of strength, then we could be setting the table as to what everybody else is doing. We're not in a position of strength. We're in a position of complete weakness. We are dependent on everybody else.
That's it. And we've got to restructure our financial situation, I think, first, in order to put us back into a position of strength, because there's so many different things that have to be included into it. But I think at this particular point, we need to look forward to the next election in 2012, whatever it is, and we need to change an awful lot of people, because I think there's an awful lot of people in the Senate and in the House both that have been there so long that they're no longer considering. They're not worried about the country. They're worried about themselves. And so I think that's something we need to change this next election. I think there's going to be a huge turnout in this next election, and there's going to be a huge amount of people changing positions. What do you think?
Well, I hope so. I hope that that's true, and I would like to see a more moderate disposition come out, you know, and you know, I mean, if you know, we've got a 250-year-old house here, to take the analogy, you know, before we can start, you know, try, you know, I hear a lot of different ideas from a lot of different people, libertarians, et cetera, and I'm not against everything. I think that we can incorporate a lot of different things, but before we do anything, let's fix the roof, huh? I mean, let's get the people in there, and I think getting rid of the money which we're never going to do by 2012, but I think that's something that everybody in this country should be focused in on big time. I mean, Citizens United, a corporation is a person. I mean, that's absolutely ludicrous. And the idea of the eminent domain decision that came down through the Supreme Court a few years back was another one where corporations become part of the people who can take your property away from you. I mean, what kind of craziness is this? I mean, you know, we really need to get our structure set back up in place where we're actually building ourselves again, and then we can start, you know, worrying about, you know, modernizing what we're doing. But we're not even doing that. And I think, you know, what you said about people in power, I think part of it's that. I think part of it's this idea that, you know, they are playing games for themselves, but they're doing it because they want to be able to get their corporate agenda across. And I mean, this president has been Reagan light, and they have stopped him at every turn. I mean, they filibustered the hell out of him in his first 2 years, and it's like you know, what are you doing? Are you trying to help the country, or do you just want to, you know, is it become so politically oriented that, you know, we can't get anything done? We need people who want to solve problems in Congress, especially.
I'm going to have to cut you off because we're running out of time. I appreciate your call, and consider us again. We're on here every week, so give us a call again sometime.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Okay, have a good day. We are out of time. Goodness, it's just amazing how fast time goes by, but I'm glad to have someone calling us and someone else with ideas at least a little different than mine, so we'll continue on. But I appreciate your being with us today. We're down to running out of time, basically, and I really am appreciative of your sticking with us. It's amazing, even... Well, you know, when Robin and I are doing this together, it's amazing. Oh, I forgot our doggy cookies. We go to KNND KRBN radio.com, KRBNradio.com, and on the left hand side you'll see a little thing over there for your dancing dog cookies, and click on that. I forgot to run their commercial today, and I just realized I don't have time at this particular point. We're basically completely out of time, and I appreciate your coming by and talking to us with us. We'll be doing this again next week, and hopefully we'll get this calmed down so we know who and when things are going to happen, and Robin will join us again next week. So again, we're out of time. That's just all there is to it. We've got to continue on and go away. So I appreciate you sticking with me today, and I'll be back again next week, and probably with Robin next week at the same time, same station, and we'll do the whole thing all over again. But thanks a lot, and have a good day.
sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.